Let's pray. Lord, we're so happy. Lord, that we know how to reach out. And we know what you are so that we might touch you, Lord. The word in this hour, Lord, we're so enthused and happy about it, Lord. Way more enthused and happy about it than anything in this world and in this life, Lord. We thank you so much for each one that's here this morning. I pray you'll bless us together. Bless those that are listening in, Lord, or may listen later. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I looked over there and I saw Cameron and I saw the little guy beside him and I thought I was seeing duplicates. They look so much alike. But we welcome you this morning. Good to see you. And it's good to see everybody else this morning. I trust you. The Lord has been blessing you this week. And I was sitting back there a while ago and I was thinking about, I read something there in the, one of the quotes where he was talking about when he was back behind the curtain of time and he hugged one of the sisters there and he said there was no sin there because the glands were gone. And I thought about the way we live our life. You know, I think about the sisters, the way they wear their clothes. You know, those things come from the scripture. Brother Branham brought those right out of the Bible. You know, they dress modestly. And to dress like a female dresses and not like a male dresses. God bringing those things, dividing the male from the female and keeping it divided. Even after the fall came, he kept it divided. And then trying to show the whole world that how sacred your spiritual life is by giving them these things to do, to dress and be like they should dress. You know, I've seen so many sisters grab their neck. They already got their dresses up to their neck. But when they bend over to do something, they'll still grab their neck. And I thought about the spiritual part of that. You know, are we, is that just a habit? I don't think it is. But in the spirit, what is it in the spiritual side of it? Think about it. Are we just as careful in the spiritual not to say something or to do something that might offend him? Because that's why y'all doing that. It's why you're dressed that way. It's why you act that way. Because you don't want to offend him. You don't want to offend his word that it says. Yeah. And so does it go through all the things in our lives? Or is it just something we do because that's the way we were raised or something? And I don't believe it is. But I wanted to just thought about that. And I thought about how close a walk it is. You know, because Brother Branham, he told us so many times that we don't interpret God's word. God interprets his word. He brings his word to pass. We don't bring his word to pass. We just believe it. Just like Mary said, be it unto me, Lord. That's her word. Just like the three Hebrew children. We don't know what he'll do, but we know he can. And we're not going to go this other way. See, it just let him do the interpreting. And you think about it. Brother Branham, as he brought us through and the Bible talks about it, you don't come to salvation without a revelation. God done that. God gave you that revelation. He gave you the predestination to recognize it when it happened. That's not that little quote a while ago. Brother Branham talked about how that little sister at the well, she recognized who Jesus was right away. But those other ones, they didn't recognize him at all. And Brother Ram said they didn't have anything to recognize him with. Amen. Look what God done there. God prepared her recognition of what he was going to do. Amen. And you look at healing. It's the same way. Brother Ram said, you're not going to go out and just get your healing. You accept God's word and he interprets it where he wants to interpret it. Sure. And there ain't no part of the word that's not like that. Whether I'm standing up here trying to preach to you, if I come up here and I think I'm going to do something, or I'm going to fix this, or I'm going to make that happen, I'm in the wrong place. I'm out of place. God is the only one who does that. And I'm going to read it to you out of the message this morning. But, you know, that should make us happy. It shouldn't make us sad. You know, if it makes us sad, then we need to die a little more, because God wanted to be one with us. And he's showing us that he wanted to do that. So let's go back into the message here. And this first piece there that we're going to read, that we read that Wednesday night there towards the end, we read that. See, you find your place as a Christian. You find it. Now, we just talked about how she found him. How did the little woman at the well recognize that that was Jesus? And that's the same thing he's talking about here. You find your place as a Christian because the character is molded. Your character is molded as Christ's character. You are Zoe, the same as he was Zoe. That's the same. The same as Jesus was Zoe, you're Zoe the same way. And what was Zoe? It was God's life. You're God's life a certain way. And this, the way that you're God's life is the way Jesus was God's life. Now this is in Seed Is Not Air With The Shook, paragraph 69. He was God the Logos, the word that went out of God. And when he began to brood upon the earth and brought forth marine life. Now, Brother Bram said when he was brooding over the earth, it was the seeds that he put there. He was brooding over those seeds, like seeds for trees, seeds for animals. And this one, he says marine life. All those were there, and he was bringing those forth. When the Spirit of God, the Logos, the Word, and what were those seeds? Brother Bram said, before there was ever a physical seed, it was the Word that was the seed. And what was the Logos? Was the Word. He was thinking it, and then somewhere along the line, he started to speak it. And it started to come forth from him. Let there be. That was the Word, see? Let there be. That was the seed. Let there be a whale come, or let there be a tree come. That was the Word. That had been in his mind all this time thinking about it. Now he started to move towards it. He's writing it. He's bringing it out. He's showing it to his creation. Let there be. And there went the Logos, which is the Word. And the Word began to, because all this was in the Logos. Everything was in the Logos. Right there when he spoke it out. The whole Word of God, the whole Bible for every age was in that Logos when it came out. So what happened in the garden wasn't an accident, right? Because the Word for every age was in the Logos already. Sanctification, justification, all the things that came out in the church ages for every age. Moses' age, Joseph's age, all of them. It was there in Logos when it came out. God had already prepared for the fall when his word come out. It was all in that seed. All of that was in the seed. And so everything that come forth, even after the fall, that was what God had in his mind the whole time. He knew that was going to happen. That's how Brother Bram said he stretched that thin red line down through, that thin red line of mercy, of eternity, all the way down, and staked it at the cross. And that's what he was bringing to pass. This one seed, which is him. The revelation of the entire Bible is Jesus Christ. And that's what this is. And as the Logos began to breathe upon the earth, there come marine life, and building up the bird life, and on up to animal life. And finally, there comes something in the representation, or looked like, the thing that was brewing it, brooding over it. God in a man in the very image of God. God, a man, in the very image of God. That man fell. That man fell. Like the seed has to fall. What did Brother Ram say Adam was? It was the spoken word seed. But before that seed could be brought into interpretation, brought to pass, the fall had to come. It had to come before that seed could be interpreted. Because who's the seed? Jesus Christ is the seed. And where are we? We're in Him. All of us are in Him. And that man had to fall. See, Adam had to fall. Because if Adam didn't fall, there couldn't be a Jesus. And if there couldn't be a Jesus, there couldn't be us. Because we're in Him. That's about as simple as it can be. And then God began to brood over that after the fall. So He's still brooding over that seed, even after the fall. So that's not interpreted yet if He's still brooding over it. See what I'm saying? He brought up an Enoch. He brought up an Elijah. He brought up a Moses. He brought up prophet after prophet trying to restore that image again. Just to get back to Adam. Trying to get back to that. Now what did Brother Branham say He gave Israel the law for? I can bring you the quote for it, but I'm just going to tell you. Brother Branham said that He gave Israel the law to show them that they could not keep it. He showed them that they couldn't keep it. Think about a gracious God like that. Because they thought they could keep it. Man thought he could do it. But then God gave them the law to show them they couldn't. And then the whole time He gave them the law, interwoven in there in types, was the one who could. Jesus Christ, and the one that was coming, Jesus Christ, He could do it. Because that was God. See, God done it. God's going to interpret it. And finally, upon the earth came the genuine. Finally came upon the earth the genuine image of God. Himself again, which was God the Logos, made flesh and dwelt among us. That was God the Logos that dwelt among us. And that same Logos has a part. He said it was in every age. It was the word for every age came out when Logos came out. And so the same Logos has a part. He's got a bride and the same Logos. Remember what He said a while ago about the Zoe? Same Logos, same Zoe. This word that cannot be tampered with. What is she? She's the word that can't be tampered with. That cannot be tampered with. It's brooding over the churches today. The word that can't be tampered with is what's brooding over the churches today. Listen to what He's telling them. Trying to bring back the word to its full manifestation. What was its full manifestation? Christ was the full manifestation. Which the prophets was carriers to that seed. And church denominations has been carriers to that seed now. Now notice quickly, but like the shuck hugs, holds in the seed now, then it leaves her. All right, this is in Identified Masterpiece of God. It's a really good message. All the messages He preached that year, well, of course, they're all good. But the ones He preached about Identified, all of those that He preached, there's like three or four in that in 64. They're so good. If you have a chance to go back and listen to some of them. And as long as we try, now listen, this is what I was saying a while ago. Are we being as careful that God is telling us to do this and telling us to do that and make this action and say these words? You know, we brought up salvation is by revelation. Healing's by revelation. Brother Bram said, don't go marry somebody unless God gives you a direct revelation. Everything is by his revelation. Jesus' words were, I don't do anything unless my Father first shows me. Revelation. It's all by him. So are we being that careful with the word? As long as we try to bring our churches out of creeds and denominations, we'll never do it. As long as we're trying to do it. Remember what Brother Brown preached on that message about doing God a service without it being his will. That ark needed to be put in its own house, but David wasn't the one that's supposed to do it. And Brother Goomba's hit on this several times before. Let the master builder of mankind, who made man in his own image, who is building him a bride for the same thing. So Mary says again, when did he make man in his own image? Jesus Christ. And he's building him a bride for the same thing. We're a part of that same Logos. Let his bow stroke of the Holy Ghost strike this word in your heart one time, and it'll be our best example. Let the Holy Ghost do it. Revelation. And now, when we look back and we see Luther. Luther had justification. Brother Bram said he had justification down pat, by faith. I am justified by faith. He stood on that and go out and drink and smoke his cigars and say stuff that wasn't right and things like that. But that's all that God had got there. It was coming up to that. Anything less than that, and it wouldn't work. And then, so he had to be real careful and stay right with that. And then Wesley, you come up to Wesley. And Wesley had these, living a sanctified and holy life. Still preaching the wrong baptism. Still doing all these different things and preaching things and saying stuff that wasn't exactly right. But that's where God was. But, brother and sister, we are outside of that. Brother Branham said he came outside of the denominations. Amen. The seed couldn't be in the shuck, in the denominations anymore. It had to come out. So if God was revealing those things to Luther and then to the people who God had ordained to follow Luther's message, and that was part of it, and we're receiving the fullness, what did Brother Branham say happens at the end of the church ages? He said at the end of the church ages, it's Son of Man when Jesus is here. Back there 2,000 years ago, it was called Son of Man. God in flesh. And then through the church ages, it's Son of God. Brother Bram said, not God in man, God through man. All through the church ages, it's Son of God. And then what happens at the end of that? Brother Bram said, between that, when the church ages ends, it's the Son of Man again. What does that mean? God is in flesh again. God is being revealed in flesh again. Why wasn't that God in flesh all down through those church ages? It was God in flesh all down through them church ages, but in part and in type. See? Amen. He's talking about going back to that original seed and bringing that to life. I hope I didn't say a bunch there and lose you on that. I'm sorry, but we'll pick up some of these things as we go. Strike this word in your heart one time, and it'll be our best example. No matter how big. Now, I don't want to miss what I meant to say on that. He's telling people, don't try to come out of these denominations and stuff. Don't you try to do it. Don't you as ministers try to take them out on your own. See, but take that bow stroke of the Holy Ghost and strike this word. Not Luther, Pentecostal, none of that. Let it strike this word in your heart one time, and it'll be our best example. No matter how big churches you go to, how many big churches you go to, how many names is on the book, it'll do more for Jesus Christ than all the churches and denominations. Letting that word strike your heart. Strike the word in your heart. It'll do more for Jesus Christ than all the churches and denominations and creeds and world churches and organizations in all the world. See, that's the same thing that he talked about. All those ones around that little woman at the well, none of them recognized him. But that bowstring string of the Holy Ghost struck her predestination, and it done more than all them priests and Pharisees in all that area. Yes, sir. He is making a bride. Yes, sir. He is making the bride. Yes, sir. He's hewing the chips now, chipping off the world. Oh, church joining and creeds and denominations. All has to be cut away from the church. God's the only one can cut it away. Their formal ideas, their indifference, their doctrines and things. Listen to the things he's pointing out. They're formal ideas. That's not the bowstroke of the Holy Ghost. A formal idea. Their indifference. Oh, that don't make no difference. It don't make no difference that it says this. This don't make no difference. The doctrines and things. Come back. If the prophet said it, it makes a difference. Come back. And let the master pick up the bow. Let the master pick you up in his hands and strike the word and say, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Say, amen, Lord. Make me, mold me, make me, Lord, what I should be. Then there'll be a different thing. Then if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw men unto me. We're going to hit that again here in a minute about what lifted up is. How do we lift him up? Yes, sir. He is cutting you out now. Cutting you down to his word only. That's what he doing that during justification, sanctification. He was cutting them down. Now, what about when the fullness of the word comes into existence? Brother Bram said it just came into existence in this day. In the evening time. It just come into existence. So then what? What does it do? It cuts off everything. It's what he's saying right here. He's cutting you out now. Cutting you down to his word only. Not some other something left on there that needs to be cut off. But it's cutting off everything. Cutting all the creeds and dogmas and everything away from you. Trying to get back to a bride for the son. Another masterpiece, part of the word. Now you're part of the masterpiece, part of the Zoe, part of the Logos. And he's making it come to pass. Another masterpiece, part of the word. The word. Jesus couldn't take the place. You remember when they read that day in the book, he read just part of the prophecy. You remember when he went into the temple? And he read just part of the prophecy and he stopped in the middle because the other part, Brother Bram said, was for this day, was for judgment. That's what he's talking about here. Left the rest of it for the last days. We're supposed to take that part. If God was writing that Bible and it was Jesus Christ walking on the earth back then he's writing this one with the bride, with this word that he's given her. See, so you see, he has cut, wants to cut the church out, just like he did the son out, like he did the bride and the groom. To be his bride, you must be part of him, not part of the creed, not part of the church, not part of a formal idea, not part of trying to do stuff yourself, not part of the denomination. A denomination, every last one of them, is when somebody got their idea about something that wasn't in the Bible. Or they could make it sound like it was in the Bible, but they couldn't make it run all the way through. Not part of the denomination, but part of him. So if that's the case, if a denomination is when somebody gets their idea about something, Brother Ram said you can be your own denomination. Then what is, if you got to be a part of him, you can't be a part of them.
You can't have your own ideas about stuff. And that's what he told us in other places about having the mind of Christ. And you lose your mind. You don't have this self-identification as somebody who, you know, I'm plowing my own row. I'm doing my own thing, you know. I'm the boss of me. If it ain't the cry of Americans today, I ain't never heard it. But you walk after him and what he says. Amen. Now you think about that. We live in a country where it's on independence. You know, that it started out to be independent so you could worship God and not be pushed upon by somebody else telling you what you should worship. You could worship him like he was leading you to be worshiped, him to be worshiped. And now they've turned it into independence of me. I can do whatever I want. You don't tell me what to do. And they took that same attitude and they try to think and try to associate themselves back with Christ and the Bible. And they've made a terrible mess. That's where all these denominations have come from. So you're not going to be part of him and be that way too. It's not going to happen. But part of him, hewed out of any other kind of form, won't work. You got to be hewed from the Word. The Word cut off of you and just leave the Word only live in you. The great sculpture is counting on you. Now, that makes it sound like it's a question. Will you or will you not? And maybe for you personally it is, but for God, he knows who is. The great sculptor is counting on you, willing to stand and have yourself shaped into the likeness of his requirement that his word requires. So that little woman back there, she'd already lost everything. She was going from husband to husband in sin. She was just all messed up. She didn't have no big face to lose. She didn't have anything else. Only thing that God had done was preserve that little word in her heart. And he come by to activate that word, to turn it on, to bring her to life. She was willing to stand still, so God made a way for her. Willing to stand and make yourself shaped into the likeness of his requirement that his word requires. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, his sons. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Christ is the identified masterpiece of the Word made flesh. Not just the Word anymore, it's made flesh. That's the identified masterpiece when it's manifested, not when it's just wrote out. It's when God makes that's wrote out living, walking. Christ is the identified masterpiece of the Word made flesh. You're asked to identify yourself in him by the same word to be the masterpiece of the bride. Now you say, Chris, how do I identify myself in him? Be willing, like he said up here, be willing to stand and have yourself shaped into the likeness of the Word, his requirements of his Word. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. All right, so I mentioned this chapter in John. So let's go through this. Let's go through this whole chapter here. John 8. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him and sat down and taught them. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now notice when they're doing this. He's teaching the other people, the ones sitting there listening to him, he's teaching them, and they come in the middle of this and set her down. They want to start something. They want to tempt. And Jesus knows right away who they are. Because the other ones were sitting and listening. How Moses, he said, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Now, it's sort of like the rich young ruler. Brother Branham said, why did the rich young ruler come to see Jesus? Why did they come to see Jesus and ask him how to receive eternal life? Why didn't he go to his priest? Because Brother Branham said he knew he didn't have eternal life. And that's why he didn't go to the priest. And look at them. Why are they coming to Jesus? Why is it bothering them? Why are they coming asking him? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. Because they want him to mess up on this, on their grounds of what they call mess up. And then they can accuse him. That's what they wanted to do to begin with. They want to trick him up in the word and then accuse him. But he was the word. You're not going to. And if Jesus tried to fix this himself, what a mess it would have been. We saw in different parts in the scripture when people try to do things themselves. Moses tried to do something himself and he ended up killing an Egyptian. But when God got a hold of him, it was a different story. And here Jesus is. There was no time that God didn't have a hold of him. And so they come down here and they're trying to accuse the very word itself. They don't recognize it that way. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote in the dirt, as though he heard them not. He completely ignored them. They come brought this woman and set him in front of him, quoted the scripture to him in front of all these other people that's listening to him. And he just ignored them. Reached down in the dirt and started writing. Can you imagine people standing around when this is going on? Why didn't he answer them? That's in the Bible. Why don't Jesus answer them? It's in the Bible. What they said is true. And this woman's been called into adultery. Why don't he answer them? Why is he just ignoring them? Because he done whatever God told him to do when he told him to do it and not until then. God writing his Bible. The very actions that he done, he ignored them. God didn't tell him to say nothing yet. He reached down and started writing in the dirt. So I guess they got tired of waiting. So he says, so when they continued asking him, they keep on asking. They won't let him be still. He lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. You talk about wisdom. He, when he read that scripture, he was the life, the way, the truth, the life. And they're trying to get him to go under Moses' law. You see how God does this. He that's without sin among you, let him first cast the stone at her. And then he went back to writing in the dirt. He again stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. So they come up there to try to embarrass him and try to twist him up on the word. And because he didn't jump around and do whatever everybody wanted him to do, he done what God told him to do, then you see what happened. They didn't have nothing to do. They didn't have nothing to do but just walk away. Because God did it. Not because a man done it. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest. So all the oldest one there went first. I guess back in that day, the eldest had a little more wisdom than the youngest. But today, you can't tell the difference, not out in the world, because the old ones are right out there in the mess with the rest of them. Went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even until the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. So they're all leaving. Jesus is writing in the dirt the whole time they're leaving. And then he stands up and looks around, and they're all gone. When Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" Now look what's happened. By speaking one sentence, every last one of her accusers has left her. He separated her from her accusers. Now he's going to give her life. He said unto her, "Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" Now, he was the only one there without sin. He was the only one could have picked the stone up and done it. And he didn't. God was changing over from the law to something else. And they failed to see it. They failed to see God taking place. She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Then spake Jesus. So there's a little paragraph sign there, because they come back. They don't stay gone for too long, or maybe it's new ones or something. I don't know. But then Jesus is speaking to them again. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world." So they've pushed him, and he's pushed back. Now he's going to keep pushing. They want the word. He's going to give them the word. "I am the light of the world." Could you imagine a man saying this? One that has been accused of being an illegitimate born son. And he's saying stuff that none of the Pharisees and Sadducees like. They're all upset about it. That's why they come done that right in the temple there. And yet here he stands up and he says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Wow, what a statement. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, "Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true." They hadn't recognized who this is yet. They just think he's a man, just a man. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but you cannot tell whence I came and whither I go." They still thought he was a man. And he knew who he was. And so he's just going to tell them flat out, "You don't know who I am because you don't know where I come from and where I go. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I'm not alone, but I and the Father that sent me." So who's doing the judging? Your Father is doing the judging by the Son. Because the Son is the Word. The Son is the thing that's testifying against them right now. He's being the Word and they're denying the Word. "It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me." Then said they unto him, "Where is thy Father?" They're really making their ignorance known. Jesus answered, "Ye neither know me nor my Father. For if you had known me, you would have known my Father also." These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, why is he saying all this stuff to them? Because later on, they ask him a question, and he said, I'm not going to ask you either. He's doing exactly what God tells him to do when and not other times. You know, if you read that, you'd be like, well, what was his measuring stick? What made him decide when to say something to these Pharisees and when not to? God was the one doing it. Then said the Jews, will he killeth himself? Because he said, whether I go, you cannot come. That's the only place they thought they couldn't go, was if he killed himself, they couldn't go there. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, and I am from above. Ye are of this world, and I'm not of this world. He's in the world. He's a testimony against them, and he's not of it, he said. It ought to have been so clear to them that he wasn't of it. He was so different than everything else. And said, therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. He who? See, that's what they're asking. As soon as he says it. Then said they unto him, who art thou? If you want us to believe you're he, then who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said to you from the beginning. I've been telling you this whole time, and you've not listened. He told them that he and his Father was one, and they still didn't catch it. I have many things to say to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak the word. I speak to the world those things which I heard of him. That's what I say to the world, what he tells me to say. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted him up, then shall you know that I am he. So they hadn't lifted him up. So whatever lifting him up is, they hadn't done it, because they didn't know who he was. Then shall you know, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Now remember, Brother Branham said we've got the same testimony. If you're part of that Logos, if you're part of that bride, you're part of that Christ, you have the same testimony. For I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. So many believed on him. So somehow or another, while those words were going out to those people, some of them believed who he was, because he said here, when you lift up the Son of Man, that's when you're going to know who I am. So somehow or another, they believed who he was, and they saw who he was. And he sent me. All right, paragraph 31. Then said Jesus to those to Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Because God knew, Jesus knew, they couldn't continue in the word without God. That's how he continued in the word. That's how every son and daughter of God continues in the word. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? They don't even know the bondage that they're in. It's a spiritual bondage. Everything's fleshly with them. They don't realize nothing about the bondage. They've been doing these sacrifices for how many years? 3,000 years? 2,500 years? Ever since Moses? They've been doing those sacrifices. And in those spoke about something greater. Why did they have to do those? They didn't even realize why they were having to do those sacrifices. They knew that because they'd done this or that, they'd done this sin, they had to go back. But they didn't realize why they kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it and have to keep going back and keep making sacrifices. They didn't realize that that was bondage that they were in, although they were doing it all those years. And here he is talking to them that they'd be free, and all they can think about is a fleshly slave or a fleshly servant or bondage like that. Brother Ram said they were blinded by their intellect. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever serves," he's going to tell them. Now he's going to try to remind them of the reason they've been given these bloods and bulls and goats and lambs as sacrifices is because of your sin. Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. So he's telling them the bondage they're in. He's being patient with them. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. He just told him again, if you lift it up, if you lift up the Son of Man, you're going to know who I am. Now, this is for all ages, brother and sister. That's not just for back then. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Remember that quote I sent out before service? I don't know if y'all got to read it. They had nothing to recognize him with. Because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which you have seen with your father, Satan. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were children, Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. There he's talking spiritual, and all they're seeing is fleshly. Brother and sister, that has carried on through all of time. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham didn't do that. So if you're Abraham's seed, why aren't you acting like Abraham did? You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we're not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. You'd be my brother. You'd be my sister. You would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Boy, if that ain't, the rest ain't choked them, this ought to choke them. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. It isn't because the audible words ain't getting to their ears and to their brains. It's because there's nothing there to recognize the truth with. Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, and because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He just told them they was the father of the devil. Their father was the devil. Just plain out, straight out told them. Now, how could I do that in this day and time unless it be by the word, unless it be by revelation? Because I don't know who is and who isn't. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He's putting it on them. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore heareth not, because you're not of God. They don't hear it because they're not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him. Now he's talking directly to them and saying that. Now he couldn't have said that to Paul, could he? The Holy Spirit had to do what the Holy Spirit was doing. The Holy Spirit knew. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? They're trying to shoot stuff back at him now. He asked them, I've told you the truth and you won't believe me. Why? And now they're trying to accuse him of having a devil. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. See, they missed that altogether. They brought that woman in there and popped her down in front of those people because they were jealous that this man was talking to these people and not to them. Yeah. And they had to do something to try to show that he's off the word and he's wrong. See that? And he wasn't after his own glory. And he made it clear he wasn't after his own glory. And they failed to see that part even. And these people that's coming against the prophet nowadays, they failed to see that. He was never after his own glory. You find one other preacher in all these other ones out there, and you show me one that wasn't after his own glory. Half the message preachers in the message today is after their own glory. I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Boy, he just keeps throwing them stuff that they're going to have a hard time understanding. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. See, they're trying to take the word and twist it against him. Misinterpret the word to try to make him look bad. They're still after their own glory. They're not interested in recognizing who he is. They're interested in proving who he isn't, who they don't think he is, so that they can still have the glory. Satan, just livid with his eyes right in the middle of them. That's Satan. What did Satan say? I'm going to take my kingdom above Michael's. I'm going to make it greater. That spirit comes all the way down through men and acts out. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham? See, they're sensationalizing it now. They're trying to just call, look, man, this man's crazy. They're trying to appeal to popular intellectual idea here and get them to turn against him. They're doing the same thing with the message. People that come against the message. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me. There's where it goes. See? If you have honor, let it be honor that God did, not yourself. Revelation, brother, sister, it's all the way through there. God is doing it. But who's willing to stand still and let him do it? Who is willing to let him cut it off of us? Everybody, be still until he does it. Don't try to take it back up and do it yourself. Just be still until he does it. Now, I know I've preached this, what, 6 or 8 different ways, but I know what I come through, and I don't want you to not come through that and not know this. See, I've come through the hard way, and I often question the Lord, why? Why did it has to come this way? And I don't know unless that was it. So I might be a help. But he brings us all through hard things. Not just me. I'm not trying to single myself out. He brings every last one of you through stuff. I can't remember when I was over at the church and Brother Holmes would be having a problem with a computer. Or one of the other brothers and sisters have a problem with the computer. I cannot tell you how many times that they asked me a question on their computer when a week before that, I'd had the same problem and had to figure it out myself. I looked all smart when I'd spent days trying to figure that problem out and finally figured it out. And when they asked me, I could just say, well, here's what you need to do. You need to do this and this and this will fix it. Like I just had it stored up. Well, he stored it up, not me. He done it. He points these things out in the message to us, not us. If I'm the one trying to point things out in the message, what good will that do? All right. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say, what that ye... I'm sorry. I'm thinking about my boo-hoo in here and I can't read. It is my Father that honoreth me, and whom you say that he's your God. He's the one honoreth me, and you say he's your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. He's not bragging. He's just telling them the truth. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see this day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. They're going off of all these things that they see with these eyes and they reason out in their heads. That's the only thing they had to go on. Brother Bram said they didn't have nothing to recognize him with. What happened? That little sister at the well, she didn't see none of that. Not when that word struck her heart. That's all she could see at that point. Everything else went away. When Matthew, we come by in Matthew, he said, come, Matthew, follow me. And he just followed him. I think it was Matthew. It was some of them that were doing the taxes and doing other stuff. He just come by and said, come, follow me. They just stopped what they were doing and went with him. You talk about going by faith. Everything in their intellect was screaming, don't do that. What are you doing? They had something else to recognize him with. And it wasn't these eyes. And it wasn't this brain. That's all they had, the Sadducees and Pharisees. Then took they up stones to cast at him. Well, they just had all they could take now. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Amen. Unveiling of God. Behind the old temple, in the veil, what was back behind there? Back through them days of the law, when they had that temple and only the priest could go in there, what was Jehovah? What was hid back there behind those skins? What was the veil hiding? Oh, hallelujah. What was the veil hiding? It was hiding the word. The veil, old badger skins, was hidden, hiding the word to their eyes, natural. Behind there also was the showbread. Behind there also was the Shekinah glory. Or not, also was the Shekinah glory. But it was all hid from them all. all from them, all hid from them. It was all hid. All the glory of God was right behind that old badger skin. That's right. All hid to the natural eye. It is today too. So, are we going to be like those Sadducees and those Pharisees? And we're going to take that all fleshly? Because there is no temple today. There's no temple in Jerusalem. There's no Shekinah glory behind these skins. What do you call them? What kind of skins was it? Badger skins. There's nothing back there behind those badger skins. So when Brother Branham says it's that way today, that it's hid behind the badger skins, are we going to say, what are you talking about, Brother Branham? There's no temple over there. There's no badger skins over there. What are you talking about? It's hid behind badger skins? What do you mean? Because he said it's the same today. Are we going to be still and let him chop off the intellect stuff? We're going to be still until he says it. Because you read what he said about the disciples. The disciples didn't know what he said either. When he said something and all this multitude left him. And then there was 70 left. And he said something to them and most of them left. And all was left were the disciples. And they didn't go. They didn't understand him either. But for some reason they couldn't go. It is today too. It's called a bunch of holy roller fanatics. Holy rollers, fanatics. But they don't know what's hid behind there. That's what they don't know, see? So he's talking about the people of today. That's where that Shekinah glory's hid. Back behind that badger skin, these skins that we wear, human beings. Then when God in mercy rent the veil for them to see. Remember when he rent the veil that was over those old badger skins back there when Jesus died. Then when God in mercy rent the veil for them to see, they were so wrapped up in their traditions. We just read that. It was still hid from them even to this day. So what we just read to you in John 8, it was an illustration of that. And now he's saying that was happening back there when he rent that badger skin on the temple. And he showed everybody what was behind that temple. Brother Bram said when that happened, he was on the cross. There was now the Shekinah. It was in that man. Same now. But now it's the same now, see? It's the same as it was back then. So there's a badger skin now that is hid behind. Because it's always been behind skins. Same now. The glory, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Shekinah glory that comes upon the believer. Now I mean the real believer that causes the works of God. What causes the works of God? The Shekinah coming upon them causes the works of God. Faith, Brother Ram said, works is faith expressed. Satan can go around and he can mimic some of those works, but not all of them. He can't stay with the word. Now, I mean the real believer. That causes the works of God and faith to come into him. When you receive that, that causes the works of God and faith to come into him, to believe the word of God, that's all hid to them eyes. They say, them things are past, you see. They're still living beyond the veil, behind the veil. You're not behind that veil anymore, little ones. God has come in full view of you. How can God come in full view of you if we're still in the justification or sanctification or baptism of Holy, when none of those were God in full view? Brother Bram told us that was God passing through, the life passing through. God has come in full view of you. Then when God in his mercy rent the veil, he was brought into plain view. So there must have been another rending of the veil. Because God has been brought into full view of us. What does that sound like? Then God, in His mercy, rent the veil. He was brought into plain view. But they were so wrapped up in their traditions, He was still hid from them. Like Brother Ram said, if you're blind and you turn on the light, you're still blind. He was still hid from them. Same now. It's the same now. How can the prophet of God say this if it's not the same Jesus Christ that was being manifested back there that's being manifested now? They were still hid. He was still hid from them. Same now. All that glory hid is hid for us in Christ, the Word, who is our temple. Oh, now I'm going to have to dig down in this a little bit. Excuse me for my emotions this morning. But oh, I wanted to give this out for so long. It's just binding up in me, see? Notice all the glory that is in God is in the Word. All the glory that's in God is in the Word. And all the blessings that's in God is in the Word. It's hid to the unbeliever by traditions. See what I mean? But it's all in Christ. All that God was, He emptied, kenos, into Christ. And we, into Christ, are behind the veil. We're in there with all the blessings of God. We're in there with all of the blessings. What else? The glory. We're right in that. Well, I'm into Christ, you say. Now, he knows people's going to make that claim. So he's going to give you a little example of what's not true. Well, I'm into Christ, you say, and then believe there's three gods. Baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Believe in all these traditions and things that you believe in of the elders. No, you're still behind the veil. See, come into the veil. He, Christ, is the Word. How? I don't believe in divine healing. So he's giving somebody else to say something. I don't believe in these miracles and things like that. We are in Him. Now, I cut out some of that in there. I was trying to save time. We in Him. Then we, being in Him, we're still veiled to the religionists and professors of the world. See who we're veiled to? Not veiled to God. We're veiled to the nonsense that tries to explain God away. Brother, that's a gift. See, when we, being in Him, we're still veiled to the religionists and professors of the world. See, our glory that we have and enjoying, we're still veiled to them outsiders. They think we're crazy, a nut again. See, that's right. But we who are in here, in Christ, baptized in Him, 1 Corinthians 12, into Him, we are partakers of this glory, see? Not on the outside. You're still looking in, denying it, see? So, now we are invited into Him. Now, we're invited into Him to be partakers of all that He is. Not just sanctification, justification, all that He is. You're invited to be partakers of all that He is. The same Zoe that He is. Part of that Logos. We're invited into Him, which is hid to unbelievers by the veil of human flesh. See, they know that glory. See, now let's talk about that for just a second. It's hid from them by the veil of human flesh. Now that is twofold. It's their understanding of what they're seeing. See, so what they judge is wrong. They judge this person acting this way. They don't need to act that way. They can't say anything wrong with it. If they see Sister Amanda walking around, she has her dress on, she has long hair on, she don't have the makeup on her face and jewels everywhere. She don't do that. And they look at that. They can't say nothing wrong with it. But they hate it anyways. They don't like it. Why? Because it makes them feel like maybe there's something not quite right with them. Because that's the right testimony. That's God testifying. And they're rejecting God when they do that. Remember what he said? It's not you that they despise, it's me. And that's what's happening there. They're veiled. And that's what he said. We have to die to that idea. Or we'll never see these other things. See, they know that glory. They read of it. And he's going to tell. See, they know about it. They read about it. It's in the Word here. How do they know about the glory? They don't know it personally. They don't know it like a friend knows a friend. They don't know it like that. They know it like they read it on a billboard sign somewhere. They read of it. It's in the Word here. The glory of God. It's right there in the Word. And things like that, that's just a word to them. To us, it's manifestation. It's not just a word. We see it happening. It's in our heart happening, and it comes out in our lives. There's no stopping it. And things like that, it's just a word to them. To us, it's a manifestation, see? It's no more a word, it's a reality. Amen. He said, God said, you know, Brother Ram talked about that. A rumor went around back before the gifts got come back into church. A rumor went around. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. They knew there was something else. And they were looking for that something else. But this one, you've stepped into the something else. All of it. Let there be light, and there was the Word. But now there is light. What is he telling us about right now? That it's not just words anymore. It is. It's manifested. And what did Brother Ram say? God is his own interpreter. He does his own interpreting by bringing it to pass. Amen. So he said, let there be light, and there was light. Until there was light, it was just a word. But now he's saying that it's more than this to us. Let there be light. That was the word. But I mean, you think about the message nowadays. How many of them don't want to see that the seventh seal opened? That Jesus come and that we've been called up. They got all kind of excuses why that's not true. They see the glory of it wrote right there in the message. But it's just words to them. I hate to say it, but it's just words. But now there is light. It ain't the word, it's the light. See what I mean? Now it isn't just a written word to us, it's a reality. We're not waiting for it to happen, it's happening. We're in him. We're not waiting to get into him, we're in him. Now we're enjoying. Now we behold him. Now we see him, the Word, manifesting himself. It's hid out here, out there, because why? It's veiled in human flesh, see? Oh, they say, that bunch of people, where did they go to school? What education did they have? See what they're seeing with? If it don't come to these things, it can't be good. All their life they've been told that if they don't get this much education and get this much job and get this much money and get this and this and this, then you shouldn't listen to them because they're not important. They didn't try hard enough. And they're not this and that. When Brother Branham comes along, gets $100 a week to live, don't want a house in his name, and beats his car up all over the back and forth all over the United States, he's wore out car after car. And they want to slam and knock into that because it don't meet their criteria, their intellectual criteria. If that's not exactly like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Where did they come from? What group do they belong to? See, they don't get it. We're inside of Christ. Now as then, all true believers see him, the word of promise of this day openly manifested. That's a big word if you can get it, see? All true believers that's in the Word see God openly. Like that little woman saw him openly. He was openly among them. And she saw him, but none of the rest of them saw him. See God openly. The veil is rent. And God stands openly before you manifested. A veil's been rent in this day, brother. Let you see past the man and past the flesh, and you can see God. God manifested open. In order to do this, our old denominational traditional veil must be rent again. In order to really see what it is, you got to come out from among that stuff. And how did the veil of the traditional denominations get rent in our day? The message rent it. The seals broke. And everything that had been left off come forth. And the things that had been hid come forth. And there was nothing hid anymore from God's people. And that rent the veil. And they just stood there wondering what's going on. See, you'll never do it. They'll keep pulling that veil before you every time. You got to come out from among that stuff. See, you'll never do it. They'll keep pulling that veil before you every time. Oh, there's nothing to that. But here it is written and here it is made manifest. Do you see? Talk about God interpreting. All right, this is the last quote, I think. The book of the Revelations is the last book of the Bible. It's sealed to unbelievers. Sounds like the what's behind the Shekinah glory, that old badger skin. What did Brother Ram say the entire book was? The revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what was hid behind the badger skins. It's sealed to unbelievers. In there, the Bible says in the 22nd chapter, whosoever shall take one word from it or add one word to it, I'll take his part from the book of life. We realize that then it's altogether given for believers. And it opens the book of the Revelations and reveals who the author of this book is. How in the world, after all this time, did they not know who the author of this book was? But it reveals it. Maybe they had it in some type or way. But now we know him. We see him. And it opens the book of Revelations and reveals who the author of this entire book is. That's to individuals. You know the author. He is to look upon as Alpha and Omega from the Genesis to Revelations. Jesus Christ, just the same, right straight through, and he reveals his complete mystery of himself. Who does it? God reveals it. And we're a part of that revelation. And reveals his complete mystery of himself. And his plans for his church ages that's to come. And was sealed in there by seven seals. Now the book was written, but then remember, it was sealed with seven seals. And these seven seals was not to be opened until the sounding of the last earthly angel on earth. Revelations 10:7, see, in the days of the sounding of the last angel's message, seventh angel, the mystery of God should be finished at that age. That's the age that we're living in. We all know we're living in Laodicea age. There will never be another age to it. It can't be. We're living in the Laodicea age. And these seven seals that's held that book is a mystery to people. But it's a mystery to some people, but it's life to other people. Should be opened at that day. That's what he promised. Now it's won't be nothing outside the Word, because you can't add to the Word or take from the Word. It's got to remain always the Word. But the revelation is to reveal the truth of it, what it is, to make it fit with the rest of the Scripture. It's to reveal His the author of the book. And then God vindicates that to be true. So it's revealed, and then God vindicates it. You catch that? Vindicates it. What does vindicate mean? He proves it. So He reveals it. He brings the Word. He opens the seals. And then He proves it. He don't need no interpreter. He's His own interpreter. He does His own interpretation by bringing it to pass. The things that He said would happen. So He says they were happening, and He makes them happen. Like in the beginning, He said, let there be light. And there was light. Then you notice where He went back there. The things that He said would happen, He makes them happen. And when He said He spoke out in Logos, where were we? In the Logos. We were part of what He said was going to happen. And He makes it happen. And there was light. And that don't need no interpretation. It was vindicated. It was proved. Now, He promised certain things in the last day in the Scripture. Why? There it was. That's how Jesus was the Son of God. He promised to send Him. How was He the Son of God? Because He promised to send Him. That's why He was the Son of God. Because He promised to send Him, and He made Him, He brought Him to pass. That's why He was the Son of God. God said He was going to do something, and He done it. He promised to send Him. Then He was in His days here on earth, when He was in His days here on earth, and the people couldn't believe Him. He said, search the Scripture. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. So they couldn't believe Him. So look in there and read what it says, because that's what's happening. If I do not the works of my Father, then believe me not. But if you can't believe me, believe the works that I do, because they testify of who I am. So these works, the works that He said He wasn't doing, that God was doing them. It's not me that doeth the works, but the Father that dwelleth in me. Those works were God bringing that Word to pass. And He was telling them, look at the Word. See what it says? Look at my life and see if it ain't that. And if that's not what Brother Branham done while he was here, over and over and over. Read that message. Look at how many times Brother Branham said, God said, this is going to happen. And then watch it happening. Watch Him pointing it out. But if you can't believe me, believe the works that I do, because they testify of me. Well, then, in Wesley's age, the works that he did testified of who he was. In Luther's age, on Reformation, why, sure, it testified who he was. That was what God was doing there in that age. And in the days of Pentecostals, the restoring back of the gifts, the restoring of the gifts, speaking in tongues, casting out devils and the gifts, why, it testified. There was no joke about it. People said, when it first raised up, I read the book on the history of Pentecost. They said it can't last long. It'll burn down. It's still burning. Why? It's because you'll never put it out. God said it would be there. That's the portion of the Word. And no more could you put that out. And then when the bride is being called out, how are you going to put it out? Remember what Brother Ram said. Now, if you listen to some of these other messages he preached right around here, he said this is not the repeat of Pentecost. It's not the being called back to that. It's a calling out of the bride. It's a different message. And that's what he's talking about here. And then when the bride is being called out, how are you going to put it out? The bride being called out. It's the revelation of the manifestation of the Word made true. And we're living in that day. Praise be to God. The thing that's calling the bride out. The revelation of the mystery of Himself. That's what's calling her out. So I don't know how I could stress it anymore. But I'm telling you, it's so good. It's so good to live in it. More than anything, to live in it. I want to make sure that something I said last week doesn't get misunderstood, because I've said it to other people before and it got misunderstood. I was talking about when the word is in you, that you'll do what the word says. You'll act like he says. You'll do what he says. Not sometimes, all the time. And I didn't want it to make it sound like you're going to perfect this flesh. You're not going to do that. Amen. You're not going to perfect this flesh. Brother Ram said it, when he went down the road, he kept a cross in his car to look at when he went down the road. You're not going to change this flesh. You're not going to perfect it. It's not going to happen. But you will bring it under subjection. Not you, God. We'll bring it under subjection. He has control of it. Doesn't mean it's not going to give you trouble. It'll give you trouble to the day you die. But he has it under subjection. That's different than the church ages, brother and sister. That's different than back there. Brother Goomba was hitting on it here the other day. It's different. And so I've said those things before, and people thought I was trying to say you're perfecting this flesh, and no. That's God's job too. He'll take care of that. So let's stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come to you this morning again, we thank you for helping us, Lord. And Lord, you know what's in my heart. And Lord, I know this was a simple message, and sometimes, Lord, just a thing or two that's said in the message is what is all that you really were after. Not that you can't use everything and do use everything, Lord, but I just want to submit to whatever you want said and do that, Lord. Just come here and wait for you. Lord, may we all do that in our lives and everything, Lord, not just here. And Lord, we pray you'll go with us today and keep us. So we go up to see Mom for her birthday. Keep us on the road, Lord. Keep each one of us as we go to our homes. And Lord, as we go out and we're a testimony, a written epistle, not of part of the word, Lord, but of all the word in this hour. As we go out, Lord, may you bring that to pass. May you be that shining light to that lost one somewhere that is still there. You may strike that predestination, Lord. It'll take a true light, not one that's still got some of the world hanging on it. Lord, it'll take a real light. And we know that, Lord, and pray that you'll bring these things to pass. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Brother Michael, if you'll come back.